rain is a bigger miracle than T.S. Amazing. Rain is a bigger nest than T.S. Amazing. Question is why? So do you mind taking one and passing these down? Thank you. Why is rain a greater miracle than T.S. Amazing? Speaking about the T.S. Amazim, Talmud says that rain is a greater miracle than revival of the dead. Question is why? We're speaking about the revival of the dead, T.S. Amazim. You hear the story about this man who was married for 60 years to a real shrew, a real battle axe. She made his life miserable. In the end of 60 years, she died. Everybody knew that she was a real shrew. She made his life hell. And at the funeral, he couldn't stop crying. So everybody was shocked that this man, whose wife was a battle axe, made his life miserable, and here he's crying hysterically at the funeral. No one could figure out. So the rabbi walks over to him and he says, "Calm down, there'll be T.S. Amazim." So he says, "That's exactly why I'm crying. She'll come back to haunt me. There'll be T.S. Amazim, she'll come back to haunt me." Okay? But anyway, let's take a look. Right? Okay. Let's take a look what the Talmud has to say about singing in the rain. Everyone have a paper?
No.
You don't have a paper, Nehemiah? What's so important about rain in Eretz Yisrael?
Singing
in the rain. Remember that movie, Singing in the Rain? Singing in the Rain. Okay. So the source number one is from the Mishnah Masechta Brachot. Alak Shamim, when it rains, Avusuras Tovot, person hears, sees that it's raining, or he has good tidings. What's a good tidings? Someone left $1 million in his will. Oma Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv. Then he makes a Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv. While Shmois Rois, Lo Yaleinu, if he hears evil tidings, Oma Baruch Dayino Emet. It's an amazing halacha. Here it is, Sonia. The Gemara in Brachos over here. Let's say a father dies and leaves his son $1 million. What bracha does the son make?
Both.
Makes both. Isn't that amazing? He makes Dayan Emes. Then when he gets the check from the lawyer, he makes a tova meitiv. Isn't that amazing? How halacha can live in, you know, acknowledges that there's these two conflicting feelings. The son makes a Dayan Emet because he lost his father, but then he also makes a tova meitiv because now he has $1 million. So he talks. So it's both. Normally it's not both. But anyway, the point here is that on rain, you're supposed to make Atova HaMeitiv. You hear? You're supposed to make Atova HaMeitiv on rain. What does Atova HaMeitiv mean? God is good and God does good. If you look at source number two, this is Talmud Bavli Masechta Tanit. What type of rain do you make a bracha? Either you make a tova meitiv or you make a shechiyonu. We'll see a little later. But what kind of rain does it have to be in order to make a bracha? Source number two. Om Ravu, meimitai mevorchen al gshamim. When do we make a bracha on rain? Mishiyotze chotan likras kala. What does that mean? What does a chosan kala got to do with it?
Good times.
So the Gemara explains that just like the chosam dances in front of the kala, it has to be a heavy dancing rain. In order to make a bracha on rain, it has to be a rain that you see it dancing on the floor like a chosam dances in front of the kala. If it doesn't rain that heavy, you're not supposed to make a bracha. Okay? Now look at source number three. Rashi Masechta Tainit. So on a heavy dancing rain, you make a bracha hatol v'hametiv, or you can make a shechiyanu. Okay? All the idea of making brachas now, if you look at source number six, see source number six? Talmud Bavli Masechta Tanit. Omar Rabavu, Godol Yoimak Shomim Mitchiat HaMesim. A rainy day is greater than what? You have the source number six, Nehemiah?
Six, no.
Source number six.
Okay, six.
Omar Rabavu, Godol Yoimak Shomim Mitchiat HaMesim. A rainy day is greater than what? Than resurrection of the dead. Why? Ilatchiat HaMesim LaTzadikim. Resurrection of the dead will only what? Benefit the tzaddikim, the rishayim will not be resurrected. Ve'elu kshamim, but rain, bein l'tzaddikim, bein l'rishayim. So why is rain greater than tchiyas ha-meisim, Sonia? Because tchiyas ha-meisim will only benefit. Sure. Source number six. Tchiyas ha-meisim will only benefit what? The tzaddikim, the rishayim will not benefit from tchiyas ha-meisim. But rain benefits not just the tzaddikim. The rishayim also get a benefit when what? When it rains, they also enjoy the rain. And therefore what? A rainy day is even greater than tchiyas ha-meisim because it benefits not just the tzaddikim, but also the rishayim as well. So we might think that rain is what? A natural occurrence. God has nothing to do with it. It's automatic pilot. So the Talmud says in the beginning of Masechta Tanit, there are three keys that God doesn't hand over to a messenger. God chooses to run the world, Nehemiah, through Malachim. He doesn't have to, but he chooses to run the world through agents. What are the agents called? Malachim, messengers. Doesn't have to, but he chooses to. But the three tasks, the Talmud says in Tanit, in the beginning, three tasks that God does not regulate or do through an agent. What are the three tasks?
Rain.
Tchiyas HaMesim. And childbirth. Childbirth. Rain, Tchiyas HaMesim, and childbirth. Those three tasks, God does not appoint an agent. He does it on his own. Look at the importance of rain. Everything happens by God. But everything that happens by God, he does it through Malachim. The question is why? He doesn't need helpers. But the three tasks, he does not appoint Malachim. He does it on his own. Tchiyas HaMesim, Geshem, and childbirth.
Don't we say on the Haggadah that only Hashem did it, no Malachim?
Right. When he went through Egypt and he killed the firstborn. Ani Hashem Eloi Malach, right? Ani Hashem Eloi Malach. Right? Which is strange because Nehemiah is asking good Takasha. Doesn't it contradict the three exception rule? Normally, who kills people? The Malach HaMavis. That's not, God appoints the Malach HaMavis, but Nehemiah points out that Pesach night, God took another task personally. He gave the Malach HaMavis the night off. Ani v'lo Malach, right? We say in the Haggadah. Ani v'lo malach, normally the Malach HaMavis does the killing, but on Pesach night, God gave him the night off, and God did the task himself.
It's an exception to the rule.
Tosis asks another kasha. Tosis asks, what do you say that the key to resurrection God doesn't give to an agent? Didn't Eliyahu Novi Mechaya Mason? Didn't Elisha resurrect the dead? Didn't Ezekiel? The whole valley of the dry bones. So Tosfos asked the Kasha, how could you say, Avi, that God does not delegate the Tchiyas HaMesim to an agent? He does it himself. What about Eliyahu HaNavi who resurrected a dead child? Elisha also resurrected a dead child. The dead child that Eliyahu HaNavi resurrected, who's that child? Yonah ben Amittai. And the child that Elisha resurrected, the prophet Habakkuk. What does Habakkuk mean? The hugged one. Because Elisha tells the Shunammite woman, in 1 year time, at choveket ben, you will be hugging a child. That child died, remember? The child died, and Elisha resurrected the child. That's the prophet Habakkuk. And then Yecheskel HaNavi resurrected 200,000 dead Ephraimites. Shevet Ephraim left Egypt early, remember? And they were massacred. Look in the Gemara in Sanhedrin 91, tells the whole story there. They miscalculated. So 200,000 Ephraimites were massacred by the Philistines. and their bones were lying there for centuries until Yecheskel came and resurrected them. So Tosis asked the Kasha, how could the Gemara say that Chiyas HaMesim, God doesn't do what? Do through an agent. Yecheskel, Elisha, and Eliyahu, they're agents. So Tosis says, what the Gemara means, that God doesn't regulate that task to an agent permanently. He could give it to them on a temporary basis, the mafteach, the key, but he takes it back. All other tasks, God chooses to run permanently through malachim. But the key to childbirth, rain, and chiyas hameisim, God keeps that key personally in his drawer, and he hands it over on a temporary basis to an agent, like Elisha, Leo, and Yecheskel. But then he what? Takes it back. And keeps it in his drawer. But other tasks, he chooses to run through malachim, through agents. The question is why? God doesn't need any helpers. So the Rambam Amar Nebuchim explains, what do you need so many angels for? And God has to delegate tasks to them. They're programmed robots. They can't act on their own. Whoever believes that a malach can act on his own, that's classic idolatry, to believe that a malach can act on his own. They're programmed robots. So why does God... doesn't need them, so why does he choose to run the world through these programmed robots or intelligent computers that we call what? Malachim. So the Rambam says, not for God's benefit, for our benefit. The Rambam says, because when you know that a king is surrounded by billions of honor guards, Malachim are his honor guards, it increases the dignity of the king. Right? You go to Buckingham Palace, and you see all the honor guards there, it gives you an awe and a dignity for the queen. So Habda Elef Avdolos, the Rambam says, therefore God surrounds himself with these angels to help us in our Yirah Shemayim, to help us increase our awe and dignity and love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what the human mind is. When you know the king is surrounded by such a huge honor guard, it gives more glory to the king, it helps us in our Yirah Shemayim. So it's not for God's benefit, it's for our benefit. But anyway, if you look at source number 11, the Ramban, you have that at the bottom of the page, you have it? Benisim ha-gedoylim ha-mufursamim odom mode benisim ha-nestorim shein yisod ha-Torah kula. Why does God make supernatural miracles? Why? He does it very rarely, but he does. Why? Source number 11, Sonia. The reason that God makes supernatural public miracles, Adam Modeh, this way a person will admit, Benisim HaNestorim, the hidden miracles, the ones that we take for granted. Shein Yisod HaTorah Kula. The foundation of the entire Torah is what? Listen to this key Ramban. In source 11 on the bottom, She'ein la'adam chelik b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. A person does not have a portion in the Torah. Ad she'ne'man b'chol d'vareinu u'makareinu she'wat she'kulam nisim ein b'hem teva. Whatever happens to us in our life, what we think is teva, we take for granted, sunrise, sunset. The Ramban asked the question over here. I didn't print it, but if you look in the source, which miracle is greater, splitting of the Red Sea or sunrise, sunset? Which is greater?
Sunrise, sunset.
You're right. Why? But most people would say splitting of the Red Sea.
Because it's every day.
Beautiful. Because this is what he's saying over here. Splitting of the Red Sea only happened once in 6,000 years. Sunrise, sunset happens day in and day out, says Ramban, it's a greater miracle. Can you imagine the sun would rise and set once in 100 years? Can you imagine the excitement, CNN, Fox News, they'd all be there. Once in 100 years you have sunrise, sunset. Imagine the excitement. Because it happens every day, doesn't make it any less miraculous. Nebuch, we get, how do you say, fachadet? Accustomed to it, but that doesn't make it any less marvelous. It's more marvelous than Kriyas Yamsa, says Ramban, because it happens every single day. Kriyas Yamsa, one shot. So that's what he's saying over here. Shekulam nisim, ein b'hem teva. Whatever Hashem does, it's all miracles. In fact, the word HaTeva is Gematria Elokim. If you figure out the Oisius HaTeva, 86 is Gematria Elokim. Minhogo Shaloylon Bein Barabim, Bein Biyochid. Whatever happens to the public or individual's life, in his little life, he thinks that it's the mundane happenings. He has to know that it all comes from Hashem. You hear what he's saying? Hakol look at the last line. Hakol b'gzeiros elyon. Kash iskarti kvar. Whatever happens to a person, it's all the gzeiros elyon. The Gemara in Chulin, page 7, says, a person doesn't stub his toe. Ein odom noikev et spoya momata el kei mechrizin ol mamala. A person doesn't even hurt his little pinky down here unless God decrees from above. So we take rain for granted, but rain is such a great miracle that it's one of the three keys that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't delegate to what? No. To a malach. Now, what bracha are you supposed to make? So I didn't print it, but I have in the Shulchan Aruch says, the Shulchan Aruch says that if a person's batzar because there's a drought and then it rains, he should make a bracha. So the Mechaber says that if there's a drought, and after a drought it starts to rain, you should make a bracha. What bracha? Hatova hametiv or shechiyonu. Says the Mishnah Brura, Efsher, the Eretz Yisrael, shematzu sham yovesh gadol. He says in Eretz Yisrael, where it's always dry, and whenever it starts to rain, even if the rain is on time, kol echot sameach boy, so the Mishnah Berurah says that in Eretz Yisrael, even though there is no drought, unfortunately we have a drought, but he said Eretz Yisrael, even when there's no drought and the rain comes bizmanoi, the first time that it rains, tzorach levorech. But again, it has to be a heavy dancing rain, like a chosn dance in front of a kala. So he has to make a bracha, shechiyanu, or what, or a toiva hametiv. Okay. Mechaber says here that who should make a bracha? A person that owns a field. In Yesh Sadeh, but the Mishnah Brura says that in Eretz Yisrael, even if you don't own a field, the first time it rains and you're happy about it, you should make a shechiyanu. Baruch Hashem, last Shabbos morning, I did it. I was in Bet Shemesh, I saw a heavy dancing rain. Mamish, the rain was dancing, I made a shechiyanu. Once a season, okay? Once a season, you make that, you can still do it. If you didn't do it in last Shabbos morning, when it rains again heavy, one per customer, you make a shechiyanu in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so we see here that there's a bracha on rain. What's the whole idea of brachos? Now, there are three categories of brachos. To make a bracha is one of the rabbinic mitzvot. There are seven rabbinic mitzvot. There's 613 Torah mitzvahs, and there are seven rabbinic mitzvot. You know the seven rabbinic mitzvot? To light candles Friday night, rabbinic mitzvah. To light Hanukkah candles, Purim, beautiful. Netilas Yadayim for bread. Make an Erev. To say Hallel on Yontif. Got six, right? Number seven, to make brachas. The whole concept of brachas is rabbinic. The only bracha min HaTorah is Berchat HaMazon. The Rambam says the only bracha on the Torah, Chalta V'Sabot V'Arachta Shev L'Kecha. So the Rambam says the only bracha min HaTorah is Berchat HaMazon. The Ramban says that Berchat HaTorah is also min HaTorah. The Ramban, what? V'Arachta. So that's the source that benching is min HaTorah. It says apostle in Re'ei, V'Yachalta V'Sabot V'Arachta Shev L'Kecha. So there, the Talmud learns out, it's a pasuk in Devarim, Parshas Re'eh. So from there, the Talmud learns out that benching is min HaTorah. So Rambam says that, yes, the only bracha min HaTorah is Birchat HaMazon. The Rambam says that Birchat HaTorah is also what? Min HaTorah. But they all agree that all the other brachas, besides benching and besides Birkat HaTorah, all the other brachas are rabbinic mitzvah. To make brachas. Therefore, if you're not sure whether you made a bracha or not, what do? We have a klal, Safik derabanan lekula. Safik brachas lehakel. If you're not sure whether you made a bracha or not, you forgot, did I make a bracha or not? Do you make a bracha again?
No.
Why? Because the whole concept of brachas is only the Rabbanan. And if you make a bracha that's not necessary, it's a bracha levatala, which is Issa deraisa. The Rambam says, if you make a bracha levatala, you're oiver loisisa shem alkecha lashav. One of the Ten Commandments is not to take God's name in vain, right? Yeah. Right? Yeah. What does that mean, says Rambam? To make a blessing in vain. So if you're not sure if you made a bracha or not, when in doubt, do without. Because taking God's name in vain is an issa deraisa. L'isitza shem l'kecha l'ashav. Don't take God's name in vain. A bracha is only the Rabbana. The only exception is Birchat HaMazon. Because Birchat HaMazon is what? A deraisa. So there, suffik deraisa l'chumra. So if you're not sure whether you benched or not, if you're a man, you have to bench again. We'll talk a minute. Why? Because benching is a sofik deraisa. Sofik deraisa l'chumra. So if you're not sure whether you benched, you have to repeat the benching. According to Ramban, if you're not sure if you made Birkat HaTorah or not, you have to repeat that too, because the Ramban says that Birkat HaTorah is also what? Minatorah. So those are the only two exceptions. Where if you're not sure, you have to what? Repeat. But all the other brachas, when in doubt, do without. What about a woman who's not sure if she benched or not? She does not repeat. Because the Talmud is left with a suffix, Masechta Brachot. Do women have to bench min haTorah or not? You hear what I said, Sonia? Do women have to bench min haTorah? On the one hand, benching is a mitzvah saseh shaloy azman grama. Is benching limited to a certain time? No, whenever you have a midnight snack, you have to bench. So women should be chayiv, because women are obligated to mitzvah saseh shaloy azman grama. Women have to do mitzvot that are not time bound, right? So benching is not time bound. Whenever you get hungry, you have to bench. But it says, V'al barischa shechasamta b'sereinu. Women don't have brit milah. So the Talmud is left with a suffix. Of course women have to bench the Rabbanon, but do they have to bench min haTorah? Because how could they say V'al barischa shechasamta b'sereinu? And the brit milah you put in our flesh. Women don't have brit milah. So for them, Sonia, it's a suffix deraisa, whether they have to bench or not. So if they're not sure if they benched, it's a svek sveka. It's a double suffix for them. Number one, maybe they're not even obligated to bench min haTorah. And if they are, maybe they did bench. They're not sure. So if a woman is not sure if she benched, she what? Does not repeat. Because for her, it's a svek sveka. What does svek sveka mean?
Double suffix.
First of all, baby, she's not mechuyev to bench min haTorah, because she doesn't have bris milah. And the second suffix is maybe she did bench, she forgot. So if a woman forgot, you don't bench again. But us guys, if we forgot, we have to bench again. But all the other brachas, besides benching and birchas haTorah, if you're not sure, when in doubt, do without. Yes? Right? Well, Rabbanim, they made up the format, but the idea to bench is a verse in Parshas Ve'eh. V'yachalta v'savato v'arachto.
So it's...
Well, just like tefillin. Is tefillin the Rabbanim or the Raisa? Tefillin. Is that the Torah or the But it doesn't say nowhere in the Torah that tefillin have to be black and square and contain the four Parshas.
Okay.
You see how... It says in the Torah, put a sign on your hand and ornament between your eyes. But it doesn't say the ornament has to have four parshas, black and square. That's all Torah Shabbat Peh. You see how you can't have one without the other. Right? Well, the Karaites, they put that tefillin on right here. Bein Einecha. Right?
Between the eyes.
Bein Einecha. The Oral Torah says Bein Einecha means no. Doesn't mean here. It means here. It's also between the eyes, but not between the eyes. It's on the head between the eyes. So you see, without the Oral Torah, you're not going anywhere. Okay? So the Oral Torah tells us that the benching, you mention bris milah. Women don't have a bris milah. So of course, minat the rabbanon, they have to bench. And maybe minat Torah too, but the Talmud has left it a safek. So if they forgot, for them it's a sfek sfeka. Okay. So there are three categories of brachas. What are the three? So the rabbanon mitzvah of making brachas divides into what? Three. The seven rabbinic mitzvahs, one called brachas, subdivides Abi into three. What are the three? Birchat hanenin, birchat hamitzvah, and birchat shevach v'hidayah. Any bracha that you make has to fall under these three categories. Ellie, you made a bracha when you ate the lollipop, right? What bracha did you make? That's birchat hanenin. Birchat hanenin, what does that mean? When you enjoy a lollipop, you have to make a bracha, or any food, or a nice smell. Birchat hanenin. That's a bracha. When you have a noah, you have to make a bracha. What's the second category? Birchat hamitzvah. Before you put on tefillin, before you shake a lulav and esrei, before you blow shofar, before you sit in a sukkah, are you sitting in a sukkah? You make a bracha. That's called birchat hamitzvah. On the mitzvah. What's the third category? Berachat Sheva for Haidaya. When you see Niagara Falls once in 30 days, what bracha do you make? Or the Grand Canyon once in 30 days? Ose Masa Bereshit. Or you see a shooting star once in 30 days, what bracha do you make? Ose Masa Bereshit. That's Berachat Sheva for Haidaya. You see the Grand Canyon, right? Or the Niagara Falls. Once in 30 days, you make a Oseh Maaseh Bereshit. When you do Kiddush Levana, right?
If you see
that's Berachat Sheva V'Hidayah, right?
Enlightening, you also make this.
You're right, Oseh Maaseh Bereshit, very good. There you don't have to wait 30 days, very good point. There the Mishnah Berurah says, along with a different storm. It's a good point you're saying. Other Sheva V'Hidayah, once in 30 days. But lightning, you could make even on the same day, as long as it's a different storm, says the Mishnah Berurah. In other words, in the same storm, you can only make Oseh Maaseh Bereshit once. Let's say it clears up, the sun comes out, and it's lightning again. So even though 30 days didn't go by, you can still make Oseh Maaseh Bereshit. Right. I don't know why that's the exception. But all the others is once in 30 days.
Right.
Rainbow, Zocha Habrit.
That's a special one.
That whenever you see a rainbow, very good. Also not once in 30 days. That's also Sheva V'Hidayah. When you go to the zoo, I'm not making this up. The Meiri says, when you see a monkey or an elephant, once in 30 days, you make Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Mishana Habriot. Other Poskim say all animals that really startle you. But the Meiri says only a monkey and an elephant. Once in 30 days, you make Baruch HaKol Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Mishana Habriot. What does Mishana Habriot mean? Mishana Habriot, you make Mishana Habriot. What does Mishana Habriot mean?
Change.
You change creatures. You make so many different creatures, the changes in creatures. So the Meiri says, Dafka and a monkey and an elephant. Madu Abalama. The Meiri says something incredible. He says that a monkey and an elephant have intelligence almost like a human being. So what's the Mishana Habriot? They have intelligence almost like a human, yet they don't have free will. So you might think, because they look strange, but the Meiri says, no. They have such great intelligence. You see the monkey, the apes, They make weapons. And elephants, when they have a graveyard, they go to die. This has all been documented. When an elephant has to die, they have a graveyard. They go to the graveyard. Like, they don't just drop dead in the middle. So anyway, so the Mishana HaBriot is not that they look strange, says the Meiri. It's to have such intelligence, and yet they do not possess free will like we do. For that, you make Mishana HaBriot. Other posts can say any animal that really impresses you. Once in 30 days, you make the Bracha Mishana HaBriot. Again, that's Shevach V'Hoidayah. That's a bracha on what? Shevach v'haydayah. Shevach means what?
Praise.
Haydayah. Thanking God for making such a wonderful world with such beautiful what? Creatures, beautiful meadows, beautiful what? Shooting stars, or beautiful what? Niagara Falls. Right? You're thanking God, praising and thanking Him for making such a wonderful world with such beautiful sights and scenes and creatures. What about on?
What about the Swiss Alps?
Yes, betach, betach. Rabsham Shina Ful Hirsch, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha, in his old age told his Talmidim, I have to go to the Swiss Alps. They said, Rebbe, we can follow up and come. And Alta Yid already. He says, because I'm afraid when I die and I go up to my father heaven and say, Shamshin, hast du gesehen my beautiful Swiss Alps? Hast du gequält? I made such a beautiful Swiss Alp, Shamshon, my zine, and you didn't see it. So you had to go see the Swiss Alps.
I have to.
Hashem is going to ask him, did you see my beautiful Swiss? Not a joke. Hashem made it for us to enjoy, to make a bracha. Oyser Masa Bereshis. Or the Grand Canyon. Interesting, on an eclipse. On an eclipse, you don't make a bracha. Eclipse? You don't make a bracha. Why? Because eclipse is considered like a bad omen. People become afraid, so therefore the Chachamim were not metaken a bracha. It's still a great phenomena. But you don't make a bracha, the Talmud says, even though Yirmiyahu says it's a bad omen for the Goyim, not for us. The Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, that eclipse is a bad omen for them, not for us. But still people become frightened, and they're not in the mood to what? They're not in the mood to what? To make a bracha. To the chumim were not metaken a bracha.
It's like with the rainbow.
No rainbow, you make a bracha. Zorcha habrit. Don't you make a bracha? Zorcha habrit. But the eclipse is considered like people get scared, right? The middle of the day is a blackout. So chumim said you're not in the mood, so we're not going to tell you to what to make a bracha. But you see, Berchat Hanenin, God could have made all food taste like potatoes. He could have. And all food could have looked like potatoes and taste like potatoes. And we eat it anyway because we need the vitamins and the proteins. But every food comes in its own beautiful package, a shiny red apple or a green apple or orange. It has its unique smell, its unique color, gift wrapped. So in food, you see the chesed habor, how much God loves a human being. Right? A shiny red apple, its unique smell. An orange, a beautiful orange, its unique smell. All fruits and food smell and taste differently. It didn't have to be like that. It all could have tasted like cod liver oil. And you would eat it anyway. But this is the chesed habor, how much He loves mankind, that He puts on such a beautiful display that each fruit and veggie comes in its own gift wrap. Unique smell, unique color, unique taste. And for that, the Berchat Hanenin, you take the apple in your hand, you're supposed to think of Him, how much He loves mankind. The shiny red apple. Right? And that's the Berchat Hanenin. It's very interesting that for Be'odom Lachavero, you don't make a bracha. Tzedakah, bikah choylin, kibbut ar ve'ein. We know that ben odom l'chaveru is a bigger mitzvah than what? Ben odom l'makayim, we know that. How do we know that? From Avraham Avinu. God came to visit him. He put God on call waiting and he wanted to take care of the orchim. So we see that the mitzvah ben odom l'chaveru is more important. right? Giving tzedakah, visiting the sick, giving food to a poor person. That's bigger mitzvah than Odom Lamokon. Because Hashem was visiting Abraham, and Abraham said, God, I have to put you on call waiting. I have to take care of some hungry guests. He didn't know they're malachim. He thought that they're poor people. So you see that an Odom Chaveiro is what? Greater. How come there's no bracha? When I do kibbutz v'ein, I should make a bracha like I put on tefillin. Or when I give tzedakah, I should make a bracha like putting on tefillin. But there is no bracha ben Odom Lechaveiro. There's no end to it. So that's why there's no bracha. Before I give a shekel to a poor person, I should make Baruch Ato Hashem, Lekeni Melech Hoaylam, Hashem Zayf Sazvoni, Al Tzedakah. Why is there no bracha like that? Or before my father says, give me a glass of water. Before I hand him the glass of water, I should say the bracha. I'll keep it off. There is no. Or before I visit a sick guy in the hospital, I should make a bracha. I'll be kacholim. There is no bracha. The question is why?
Because
why not?
Bad that you make a
wolf,
then you will feel
beautiful. Come up here.
Next week.
That's beautiful what
I'm
you said.
Embarrassing.
Beautiful. You ladies are on the ball. You hear this? This is what the Aruch HaShulchan says. Incredible. He says, you're going to make a bracha on Yenim Tzoris, the guy sick in the hospital. Ah, shaking his shoulder, well, I'll be kacholim. The guy's never poor, and before you give him tzedakah, you make a bracha. You're like rubbing salt on the wound. No bracha. I'm not going to make a bracha for Yenim. Guy's a hungry guy, you take him to feed him. You're going to make a bracha? It's like you are what? You're being insensitive. And therefore, the Chachamim were not nesakin a bracha on Bein Odom Lechavero. There's another reason, and this happened to me. It happened to me in Gula. I gave a guy a half a shekel and he threw it back at me. It hit me in the head, I'm not joking. Good thing you have a hard head. Boing. The Berachat HaMitzvah has to be made right before they do the mitzvah. The other guy might refuse the tzedakah, like it happened to me, he threw it back at me. So I would make the bracha be a bracha levatola.
And then it's a waste, yeah.
You wasted bracha, you're taking God's name in vain. So the Chachamim said, when you have to interact with another person, the other guy at the last minute, your father says, give me a glass of water. The last minute, I'm not hungry. I'm not thirsty no more. It's a bracha latola. Or you want to visit a sick guy in the hospital and doesn't want to see you. Or he's in the bathroom. And you made the bracha already. It's a bracha levatola. So since it's totally bedat acherim, you have to interact with somebody else. The other guy might refuse the favor at the last minute. You're taking God's name in vain. So therefore the Chachamim said another reason why ben Odom lechavero there is no what?
No
Birchat HaMitzvah. You hear? It's totally bedas acherim. The other guy might change his mind at the last minute and you are taking God's name in vain.
And you're not a prophet, so you don't know.
You don't know, right? That happened to me in Gula. The guy threw the half shekel back at me. I was shocked. It bounced off my head. So if I would have made a bracha, it would have been a bracha levatala. Taking God's name in vain is breaking one of the Ten Commandments. So therefore the Chachamim said, no bracha ben Odom lechavero. And as you ladies said, you're not being sensitive to the guy that's receiving the favor. It's like you are what? You're making a bracha on his misfortune. Sick guy in the hospital, guy needs tzedakah, you're going to make a bracha. Pastor, so Chachamim said, don't make a bracha. Because if you don't make a bracha, it doesn't reduce the mitzvah. The mitzvah is still there, right? Question. What about living in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah? The Ramban counts living in Eretz Yisrael one of the Tayag mitzvot. So buddy, how come you don't make a bracha on living in Israel? This is a shtarke kasha, think about it. Living in Shaftem Ba'aretz, it says over and over again, Shaftem Betach, you have to live in Eretz Yisrael, Psukim Amidbor Lamed Gimel, there's a mitzvah to live in Israel. The Ramban counts it in Sefer HaMitzvot. The Rambam doesn't. There's another discussion why the Rambam doesn't, but the Ramban does count it. So according to the Ramban, how come you don't make a bracha on living in Eretz Yisrael? It's like Leishev HaSukkah. You should make a bracha Leishev HaBaretz. Yes. So I asked this kashya to Rav Yaakov Peretz, He's a Makubal, he has yeshiva in the Rova Yehudi. I asked him this kasha. And he says, whenever you bench, what do you say? Baruch atu Hashem, ala oretz v'ala mozon. Don't you make that bracha? Baruch atu Hashem, ala oretz v'ala mozon. So you have to have in mind when you're benching, you're also making a bracha living in Eretz Yisrael. And then he said, I heard him say it, that perhaps those people that bench outside of Eretz Yisrael, perhaps they're making a bracha levatala. He said, ulai. Because how could they say Baruch Atah Hashem al Oretz al Amazon? Al Oretz al Amazon.
They're not even living there.
They're not living there. And he said, and he claims, that the Berchat HaMozon, Oretz al Amazon, is a bracha not just on the food, it's also a bracha living in Eretz Yisrael. So tomorrow morning when you have your what? Bagel, holy bagel. Holy bagel. And you say Baruch Atah Hashem al Oretz al Amazon, have in mind that you're not just thanking God for the food, you're also thanking God for the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yaakov Peretz, he's a big mekubal, a yeshiva and a rova Yehudi. Okay, so that's what he told me. So he says that if you bench outside of Israel, ulai zeh bracha levatala. Because how could you say Baruch Atah Hashem al Oretz al Amazon when you're not living in Oretz? Okay. So let's have in mind when we're benching that is the bracha for what? For Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Just like you make a bracha when you sit in the sukkah, and we live in Israel all year round, not just the 7 days of Sukkot. So he said, whenever you bench, you have to have in mind Oretz al Amazon, that you're thanking God for the mitzvah of Oretz, of living in what? In Eretz Yisrael. The Vilna Gaon said something amazing. What bracha do you make on bread? Baruch Atah Hashem. Okay, Amotzi Lechem Min Oretz. According to Ulpan 103, you should say Amotzi Lechem Min Hadama. The Vilna Gaon asked this kasha. Hamotzi Lechem Min, not from the land, Amotzi Lechem Min Hadama, from the earth. So why do you say Amotzi Lechem Min Oretz, not Min Hadama? Think about it. The Vilna Gaon says something amazing. Hamotzi Lechem Min Oretz is speaking about Eretz Yisrael. That whenever you eat bread in Staten Island or anywhere in the world, the Vilna Gaon says you have to have in mind that you're only eating that bread in the schus of Eretz Yisrael. That God feeds the whole world only in the schus of Eretz. So if you're eating bread in Borough Park, says Vilna Gaon, or in Vilna, you have to have in mind that you're eating in the schus of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the bracha is a motzi lechem min haaretz. Haaretz, not min ha'adama. That in the schus of Eretz Yisrael, we get to eat bread all over the world. Yes, that's what he said.
Why is it a motzi lechem? It should say a motzi chita or whatever. Why is it lechem? The lechem is not coming out of the earth.
You're right. I'll make the question stronger. The Medrash says that Rabbi Turnus Rufus asked Rabbi Akiva, whose work is greater, man's work or God's work? That's what Turnus Rufus, the Roman governor, asked Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva told him, man's work is greater. So the Roman pagan said, what? You're the great sage? Man's work is greater? Rabbi Akiva said, I'll prove it to you. You ever try eating raw wheat? Fat. But a holy bagel. Delicious. Who makes raw wheat? Hashem does. Who makes a holy bagel? We do. Don't you see, Nehemiah, said Rabbi Akiva, that what? That man's work is great. What's the message? God could have made holy bagels grow on trees. If God could make apples and oranges grow on trees, He could have made a Danish grow on a tree as well. But God loves man so much, He purposely left the Bria undone to give us the awesome privilege and schus to do Tikkun HaOlam. And Tikkun HaOlam is many ways. One way is to take the raw wheat. It takes 11 stages to take the raw wheat and turn it into a holy bagel. The Mishnah Masechta Shabbos lists 10 stages. Take the raw wheat and make a bagel out of it is 10 stages or 11 stages. So for the schus to become God's partner in Tikkun Olam, this is just one little way. For that, Rabbi Kiva says what? That God, what? And therefore, Rav Soloveitchik says something amazing. He says, after we eat a fruit, an apple, an orange, you make a quick bar in the fushes, right? Chick-chack. When you eat bread, you make a lange brechat hamozon. You ever wonder why? Why don't you make a brechat hamozon on apple and orange?
Because the bread, we work together.
Beautiful. Says the Rav, the apple or the orange, sometimes you don't even have to pick it. Falls into the tree, off the tree. You didn't do anything for it. It's a welfare case. He did it all. Feel like a nevish. So, burn the fushes. But bread, it takes 11 stages to turn the raw wheat into a holy bagel. For that schus, to be involved in being metakeh in the world, 11 stages, that God thinks so much of me to allow me to be his partner in turning that wheat into what? A bagel or a roll? For that privilege, I give my alange benchi, said Rav Soloveitchik. Alange benchi, for that schus. We would think the other way around, right? And he says that's the same idea why when the Jews left Egypt, they didn't sing Shira. Makas Bechoris, what am I, chopped liver? Only 7 days later, when the Red Sea split, did the Yidden sing Shira. Why didn't they sing Shira on Makas Bechoris? You ever wonder? Makas Bechorot! That's not a big nest like the splitting of the Red Sea. How come no Shira? So Rav Soloveitchik said the same idea. He said that Makas Bechoris was a one-man show. God did everything. We just sat back and enjoyed the, right? So Makas Bechoris was all done by him. And all the plagues were done by him. Krios Yamsev was a joint effort. Remember, if Nachshon and Shevet Yehuda would not have jumped in, never would have split. So Rav Soloveitchik says again, Krios Yamsev was a joint effort. Us and him. If we wouldn't do our part by diving in, it never would have split. So again, for the awesome schus to work together with God, we give Shira. So motzi lechem in aretz. You're right. You said motzi chitam in aretz, right? So what's the answer? For the privilege. That's how you make the bracha. That God gives us the privilege to turn that chita into lechem. That's why we thank him. He could have made lechem grow on trees. If he could make an apple and orange grow on a tree, and a delicious date and a fig, he could have made a Danish grow on the tree. He could have. But he didn't, to give us the privilege to do Tikkun Olam together with him. He left the world undone. Right? To give us the privilege, the schus, to feel we accomplished with him. That's how much God loves us. So that's the idea of making brachos, right? To acknowledge how much Hashem loves us, and to acknowledge and to appreciate God's beautiful world. So if you go to the zoo, it's a mitzvah. You make a bracha. Anything in life can be elevated. Go to the Swiss Alps, the Niagara Falls. The tafkid of a Jew is to infuse kedusha into what we think is mundane. To elevate and lift up the mundane. How do you do that? By making a bracha. Then even the physical, mundane things in life become what? A mitzvah can be elevated and transformed into a mitzvah. Right? Any questions, comments? It's a slow night because I think everybody went to Caroline Glick tonight. I think she's...
We make the malak.
What? She has a talk about what?
By making the mitzvah, then we make a malach.
What?
We create a malach.
A malach. If you do a mitzvah, you create a malach. But whatever you do in life, if you have the right kavanah, you can elevate that to kedusha. That, and that's what brachas help us to accomplish. Yes?
Silly question.
There are no silly questions.
Okay, good. You said a Jew can say your God. The rachot to elevate
the mundane, sanctify the mundane.
So the goyim don't have the mitzvah; they only have sheva mitzvahs.
The goyim have sheva mitzvahs, but if a goy wants, he can make a bracha too. Do you know that? He doesn't have to keep the seven, go to heaven. But Rambam clearly says that a goy is permitted to make a bracha even though he doesn't have to.
He doesn't
know Hebrew. Say it in English. Doesn't have to keep the seven, go to heaven, but he's permitted and he will get schar, even though not like a Jew. He could say it in English. Any questions, comments? Ellie, any questions?
You said something that with the bread, because it takes longer to make the bread.
Right.
Like,
so we have a lange benchi to thank Hashem that God allows us to be his partner in such a long, complicated process of 11 stages to turn the wheat into what? Into a rye bread or a holy, I like holy bagels, right? Get it? Holy bagels. The apple just falls off the tree. So it's like a welfare case. You know, you didn't work for it, so you don't have your dignity. And Hashem wants us to have our dignity, right? And therefore, he told us to bench Berchat HaMazon on Lechem, right? On Lechem. Now, there is a, how do you know what bracha in what order to make? In Europe, in the old days, when a prospective chassan would come, I mean a boy, a shidduch, on a shidduch day, the father would put out different types of fruits and nuts on the table, and not bread, to see if the prospective chassan knows what bracha to make in what order. The Talmud says, one of the signs of a Talmud chacham is if he knows what bracha to make and in what order. So let's say you have a smorgasbord, there's cakes, there's fruit, and there's veggies, and you want to eat them all. What bracha do you make first? So the acronym is Maga'esh. First you make, we're talking there's no bread. If there's bread, that poppers everything. But there's no bread. So the order is Maga'esh. First you make Mizonot. Then you make Bara Priya Gefen. Then Bara Priya Eitz. Then Bara Priya Dama. And the last one is Shahakol. So the acronym is MAGA, FBI, acronym, you know, CIA. MAGA Eish. Mizoinois comes first. Bara Priya Gefen is second. Bara Priya Eitz. Then Adama. And the last bracha is what? Shahakol. So if the boy knew that, he would get the girl, right? This is Talmud Chacham. Okay. Any questions, comments? Shkoya, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Shavua Tov. Mizuk. The Klena the Oilem, the Gresa the Simcha. Azoy Zuckman, right? I don't know why, but Azoy Zuckman. So thank you for coming. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock we have a shiur. Every Sunday at 2 o'clock we have a shiur near the library. You're welcome to come. Toda Rabba. You want to keep it or you can give it back? If you want to keep it, you can. If you want to keep it, you can. It's up to you. If not, I'll take them back. Shavua Tov.